Well, hey again, good morning. Welcome. We are so glad that you're here this morning. If I've not gotten a chance to come around and say good morning to you, my name is George, and I have the pleasure and the honor of being the pastor here. And we're so glad that you're here and that you are spending a portion of your Christmas Advent preparations with us. We show a video with lots of words because just the word Christmas elicits lots of different words in our hearts and in our minds, doesn't it? The one crowds, gosh, we were out this weekend on Friday and Saturday, and the crowds are out in full force right now, aren't they? The lights, the excitement, the anticipation, it is building, and we are getting ready to celebrate the Christmas event. Just as the world has lots of different words for Christmas, Santa, cookies, hazelnut, crowds, you name it, we in the church have our own words as well. Last week, we kicked off this Advent season. Advent simply means preparation. It's a season that we prepare ourselves to celebrate the Christmas event. Because the reality is we have to position ourselves to prepare ourselves to celebrate Christmas. Because if we don't prepare ourselves, then before we know it, it's just going to pass us right on by. And while there are lots of crowds and presents and all that kind of stuff, it's just going to be done. And we may not have truly celebrated the fullness of what this season is all about, which is Jesus, God in the flesh, stepping out of heaven and stepping onto earth. We kicked off this message series with the first word of our church words. So that while the world has its words, in the church we have our words as well. The first word in this series was preparation. And what I talked about last week was the idea that we got to prepare ourselves to celebrate Christmas. That means that we have to prepare ourselves, we have to position ourselves to fully experience the true meaning of Christmas. We prepare ourselves by sharing the good news of Christ. We prepare ourselves by serving Christ. In other words, what we have to do to prepare ourselves is to put Christ at the center of our Christmas celebration. And that means that for many of us, we have to push out and create boundaries around ourselves so that the other things don't take more space than they really deserve, so that we can truly celebrate and prepare ourselves for Christmas. So the word for this week is anticipation. Can you say that? Anticipation. Over the next few weeks, we're going to also look at revelation and incarnation. And on Christmas, we're going to look at celebration. But today we're going to look at this idea of anticipation. What I propose to you is that anticipation in many ways is a lot like preparation, that we have to prepare ourselves to anticipate the Christmas event. We have to prepare ourselves to anticipate what God is doing and will do through the Christmas event. Well, from the days of Samuel, the Christmas event, the coming of a Savior, had been predicted and promised by the prophets, and it was anticipated by the people. King David sang about the coming of the Messiah in the Psalms. Isaiah wrote poetry about a Savior. Jeremiah preached in the streets about a righteous branch that would come from the sprout of David's lineage. The prophets declared that God was going to be doing a new thing. In your message notes, you'll see one of the most famous ones that we have that predicts the place where the Messiah was going to come from. Written somewhere around 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Micah declared, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrath, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet," I love that word, yet, it's a small word, but it means so much. "Yet, a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf." So it was as if God was speaking through the prophet Micah saying, "Y'all better get ready. I want you to anticipate that God is about to do something, and it's going to be pretty profound." And then we read some words in Isaiah, again, some of the most popular verses where we understand the messianic predictions that comes from the Old Testament. Isaiah 7:14 says, "The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And a little bit later, our prophet writes, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lords of Heaven's armies will make this happen. You see, the Israelites had been waiting for centuries. They had been anticipating that there would come a powerful liberator, a redeemer, a healer, and a king. They anticipated and they prepared for a great sign from God so that they wouldn't miss it. And that sign came first to a couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth were relatives of Mary. And an angel appears to Zechariah while he is doing his work. One of the amazing things about God is he often comes in the ordinariness of our work. But Zechariah was doing his work in the temple, and an angel appeared to him. And the angel said to Zechariah, "You are going to have a son, and he is going to prepare the way." Now, Zechariah actually didn't believe the angel's message, because Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, were told in the text, were quite old. She had been barren, and there were no children. And so when the angel tells Zechariah what's going to happen, Zechariah questions the angel and says, "How in the world is that going to happen?" And because he didn't believe, the angel made it so Zechariah couldn't say anything. For the entire pregnancy of his wife, he couldn't utter a word until the birth of his child. And we read his story, which is going to serve for us this morning as the beginning of what does it mean to anticipate. I've got the text in your bulletin notes, but I want to kind of actually go back a few more verses. They're not going to be on the screen. So I invite you to listen to this, because this is where we see what God is doing as John the Baptist comes on the scene, the child of Elizabeth and Zechariah. "When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, 'No, his name is John.' 'What?' they exclaimed. 'There is no one in all of your family by that name.' So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, 'His name is John.' Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. Awe fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout all of the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, 'What will this child turn out to be?' For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way." And then we get to today's passage. Zechariah, coming from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning in verse 67. "Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy: 'Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. I think at its core, the word anticipation is all about perspective. It's all about what we see. It's all about what we experience. And what I want us to talk about for a few minutes this morning is using this text, using Zechariah as the springboard for this morning, to ask you just this one simple question. What would happen if we who are older and wiser and more experienced could reclaim some of the anticipation and surprise, excitement, and wonder of a child's Christmas? What would Christmas look like for us if we could, in fact, reclaim some of that anticipation at the coming of the Christ child? What if we could reclaim some of the surprise and the excitement and the wonder of a child's Christmas? You know, I think as we get older, sometimes we just get into such a rut, even with Christmas. And it's like we develop this list, okay, check, presents, check, decorate the house, check, bake the cookies, check, do the Christmas cards, although most people don't do those anymore, check. All these things, this list that we have to do for Christmas, that often we just forget to ask the question, what is it all about? How do we prepare ourselves to truly anticipate Christmas and not look at Christmas with this sense of drudgery or this sense of anxiety, or for some even this sense of depression? How do we position ourselves to truly anticipate Christmas, that every day, today is December 3rd, in 3 weeks, this is going to be Christmas Eve. And some of you are going, oh my gosh, I have too much to do on my list. Stop. In 3 weeks, we are going to usher in the true celebration of Christmas. And so that's why last week I talked about positioning ourselves to prepare ourselves for that. Because just like all those other things that we do to get ready for Christmas, we've got to prepare our hearts and our spirits to truly celebrate Christmas. And I think one of the most important ways that we do that is that we redevelop or rekindle this idea of anticipation. Of anticipation of what the Christmas is going to unfold. And I think Zechariah gives us a good idea of kind of a simple formula of how we begin to develop this sense of anticipation in our lives. In these verses, in this prophetic verse where he just proclaims what God has done, is doing, and will do, what we see that he does, that he helps us to remember what God has done. In the first few verses of Zechariah's prophecies, he helps us to remember what God has done, that he has redeemed his people Israel, that God has already been working in their lives. Remember is such an important word because the reality is so many of us are prone to forget. And so Zechariah spends the first part saying, okay, remember, you have to remember what God has done. Because when we look at the Old Testament and we see the people of God, one of the things that we see from them is over and over and over again, they forgot. And when we forget who we are and when we forget whose we are, we become very different people. So memory is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us so that we can remember how God has worked in the past. But Zechariah doesn't leave us there. Because the other thing that Zechariah helps us to do is to celebrate what God is doing. That's kind of the big chunk, the middle chunk of Zechariah's prophecy. And how often, because we don't remember, do we not see what God is doing? That's why I said I think at the core, the word anticipation is perspective. It's our ability to see and experience what is going on around us. And for some of us, we are so busy that we busy Christmas away. We are so busy that we fail to experience the fullness of the Christmas event. One of the traditions in our family is we go to the lights in Charlestown. I'm so glad that this year it wasn't 30 degrees when we went. But it was fun for us to go and just experience the light, to take some time out and to just walk around and look at the beauty of these lights and the beauty of the Christmas season. Sometimes we're just going through the motions and doing and doing and doing that we fail to see what's going on right in front of us. And so the prophet Isaiah says, hey, I want you to see what God is doing in our midst. He helps them to see where God is already at work. So he helps to renew, he helps them to remember what God has done, to celebrate what God is doing, but he also helps us to believe what God will do. And how often do we set ourselves up to not live in this confident expectation of what God can do or will do? When we look at the last few verses of this, 76 through 79, we see things like, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way of the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation and forgiveness of sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. See, God is using Zechariah and Elizabeth and their son John to anticipate what's going to happen, to help the people to see that God has not forgotten them, to help position ourselves to believe that God can and will do exceedingly more than we could ask or imagine. And I believe what Zechariah wants us to understand is that our God specializes in renewing our joy. He specializes in renewing our joy, whether he is igniting new joy or bringing us recovered joy, whether we find joy in our experiences or if we find joy in spite of our experiences, that when we hear the Christmas story, when we remember what God has done, that God wants to revive the joy in our lives. We should be the ones who are walking around getting ready for Christmas, and people are like, ooh, that dude's got like way too much Christmas spirit. Because we understand what it's all about. That Christmas is more than the packages and the parties and the bows and the presents. But Christmas is about the Christ event. That through Jesus we have forgiveness of sins, we have newness of life. Does that bring us joy? Are we able to tell people why we have that joy in our lives? Or are we just like, oh, you know, I think what it calls us to do, what Zechariah calls us to do, from remembering what God has done, from celebrating what God is doing, and from believing what God is going to do, he says to us, would you just take a look at you? Where's the joy in your life? Are you showing joy? Are you sharing joy? Are you experiencing joy? See, our God specializes in redeeming our past. Our God specializes in restoring things. Our God specializes in renewing our joy, but he also specializes in reviving our hope. And hope is one of those amazing words from Scripture. That hope is more than just wishful thinking. Hope is a confident expectation that God's going to do what God says he's going to do. That hope is an assurance that we have that the promises of God are really going to be fulfilled. And what God wants to speak into our lives through the Christmas event is hope. He wants to try to revive the hope in our lives, which is why we tell the story over and over again, so that we understand that God has not forgotten us and that God's not done with us. That he wants to revive the hope that we have in our lives. So our God specializes in renewing our joy. He specializes in reviving our hope. And he also specializes in restoring our perspective, in helping us to see beyond our situations, in giving us the ability to restore the things that the world has literally tainted, to help us to see who he is, what he has done, and what he is doing in our lives. To restore that perspective, that excitement, that hope, that anticipation, that joy that the Christmas event should bring. And so are you allowing God to do that in your life? Are you availing yourself? Are you positioning yourself so that God might renew your joy, so that God might revive your hope, so that God might restore your perspective? So how do we do that? How do we position ourselves so that we allow God to do that in our life? See, God does his part, but we got a part to do in this as well, because we can allow the things of this world to kind of squelch that stuff, or we can allow what God wants to do in our lives so that we are a people of anticipation, that we are a people who are preparing ourselves to truly celebrate Christmas. And I want to give what I think are just some really practical ways that you and I can anticipate what the Christmas event is truly all about. How do we build anticipation in our lives this Christmas so that when we sing the songs that we sing, when we look forward to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, that really is the culmination, the celebration of the life that we have in Jesus? How do we do that? How do we build anticipation in our lives? I think the first thing that we all can do is to open our eyes. To just open our eyes to see. To look at Christmas with fresh eyes. To look for serendipitous joy. I love that word. Can you say serendipitous? It might be a new word for you today. Do you know what that word means? Serendipitous means the unexpected, the unexplained. Moments of joy that weren't planned. That we have the opportunity to look with fresh eyes at what's around us. That God wants us to open our eyes to see who he is and to see what he has done. And I think for us at Christmas is sometimes to just open our eyes. And, you know, when we went shopping, one of the things that I did was I kind of watched other people. I'm a people watcher, so I watched. And I could see the kids' excitement. And unfortunately, I could see parents like mine going, stop. But one of the things that I wanted to just keep saying was, no, don't squelch. Help me to see this. Like seeing the light, seeing the stars, seeing the things that point to this magnificent event that we call Christmas. That sometimes we just got to open our eyes to see God's glory around us and to see what Christmas is all about. So for some of us, it's just trying to see with fresh eyes, with new eyes, with eyes that are not tainted by the world around us. So how do we anticipate Christmas? Man, just open your eyes. Look behind the presents and the packages and look at the true meaning of Christmas. I think a second way that we build anticipation this Christmas is that we watch for signs. That we watch for God's movement among us. That we watch for God doing things. That we don't rule out the miraculous and the startling. Our God specializes in miraculous and startling. Look how an angel appeared to Zechariah and Elizabeth and said, hey, you're going to have a son. He is going to be the one who is going to prepare the people for the coming of the Christ child. We have a God who speaks to this young girl named Mary who is engaged to this guy named Joseph and said, you're going to have a child, and you're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to be the Savior of the world. We have a God who specializes in forgiveness. We have a God who specializes in setting us free. We have a God who specializes in forgiving our sin, making us right, and setting us on the path of righteousness. I think we've got to not rule out God's miraculous work in our lives, in our hearts. And I think we've got to not rule out the wonder and the unexpected. Just that sense of, God, what are you going to do this Christmas? What are you going to do this Christmas? How are you positioning yourself to see what God's doing and to be prepared to be unexpected, to be prepared to be surprised, to see the miraculous movement of God, to see the startling things that God does? See, I think there are miracles all around us, but I think we just fail to see them. That God is still in the business of doing the miraculous in us, through us, with us, and in spite of us. But are we looking to see what God is doing? Are we positioning ourselves and anticipating what God might want to do in our lives? So I think building anticipation in Christmas, one of the things we do is we just open our eyes. We seek to see what God is doing. Again, what's anticipation? At its core is perspective. So we open our eyes to see what God is doing, that we watch for signs, we watch to see what God has done and is doing, that God specializes in the miraculous and the startling. He specializes in the wonder and the unexpected. And I think number three, I think what we do as well, is that we bear and prepare our hearts. We just bear, in other words, we lay our hearts open before God. And we prepare our hearts before God to see what God wants to do. We say things like, "Come, Lord Jesus." We pray things like, "Come, Holy Spirit, have your way in my life." We believe that God can take the ordinary and do extraordinary things. We pray and we ask God for healing and for restoration and for newness. We ask God to take away our stony heart and give us a soft heart. We ask God to help us see others the way he sees, to love others the way he loves. That we bear and prepare our hearts to truly experience Christmas. It's not just a date. As a matter of fact, it's not a date, it's a person. It's about Jesus. So we bear and prepare our hearts by allowing our anticipation and preparation to restore Jesus to the center of our Christmas. And we got to do that starting now, because you're already like we are ramping up. And we've got to position Jesus at the center of our Christmas. One of the things that we're doing is Jenny made this cool little Advent reading thing that has 25 readings that every day that we're doing with our daughters. That's got a scripture thing on it, and it's got a place for us to take a moment and to tell the story with our kids. Again, so that we can try to restore and keep Jesus at the center of our Christmas, so that we're telling the story. Jenny says that when she was growing up, one of the things that she remembers is sitting around their Christmas tree and her dad reading from the Gospel of Luke, the Christmas story. And so we position for anticipation and preparation by reminding ourselves of the story, of the real story of Christmas, and we're telling it over and over and over again. We bear and prepare our hearts by preparing to be surprised. By preparing to be surprised. I have a confession to make to you. And it's something that I realized while I was actually working on this message. I don't like making a Christmas wish list, do I? Jenny's like, "No, because I don't have one from you." But you know what I thought about, what I discovered? Because, like, I love to be surprised. And if I have a list and something's on my list, it's kind of not really a surprise for me. You understand that? I was the kid growing up, I think one year I got into the Christmas presents because I knew where the stash was. And so when Christmas came, I knew everything that I was getting, which in our family, it wasn't much because we were pretty poor. But I knew everything I was getting. So do you know Christmas was a huge letdown for me? Because I was like, "Oh, yeah, thanks." But I love opening presents and just seeing the gift that somebody got for me. So I love having this spirit of anticipation. So sorry, honey, like no list. Because I just love being surprised. I love looking at my kids' eyes when they open the presents, you know, and it's like, "Oh," you know, and so exciting. So, like, have you prepared yourself to really be surprised? Or are you structuring and sequencing everything about your Christmas celebration that you don't allow for surprise in your life? See, I think God specializes in surprises. And I think he wants us to experience those surprises. So my encouragement for you this Christmas is anticipate. Anticipate what's going to be there. So we allow anticipation and preparation to restore Jesus to the center. We prepare to be surprised. And then this last one, which is like the first one, but I just got to say it again. Don't let Jesus get lost in your Christmas. Don't let Jesus get lost in your Christmas. You know, one of the things that we know is, again, we start getting really busy, right? We start adding things to our list. We start having lots of things to do. And so when we only have a certain amount of time, we begin to edit out other things. And so there are some things that we do in pen, and there are some things that we do in pencil, right? What I want to encourage you to do is to put Jesus at the center in pen. That way you don't erase him. That means that you make worship a priority. That means that you make preparing for the Christmas event like number one. It means that you tell the story over and over and you share it with your kids. That you make the spiritual part, the sacred parts of Christmas, that they take precedence over the secular parts. Now don't get me wrong, presents are fun. I like presents. Everybody does. But we can't let Jesus get lost in all that. We've got to keep him at the center, and we've got to keep him the focus of Christmas. And so again, here's what I'm challenging you with this year. Are you positioning yourself to both prepare to celebrate Christmas and all that it means with Christ at the center? Are you anticipating the Christmas event so that you're seeing with fresh eyes and hearing with new ears and opening your heart to once again be reminded of God's amazing love that we experience through the Christmas event? I mean, just think about that. What do we really celebrate at Christmas? What do we celebrate at Christmas? We celebrate God loving the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. God steps out of heaven and steps into our time and space so that we might step out of our time and space and live forever in his kingdom. See, the story of Christmas is about Christ. It is the fulfillment of what the Israelites were looking for. Because God keeps his promises. Just as he promised throughout the ages to the prophets, to the psalmists, to the sages, that he was doing a new thing. And so are you positioning yourself to experience the new thing that God wants to do in your life? Are you anticipating that this is going to be the best Christmas ever?